I appreciate that, and I'm not going to promise anything. It's a half hour after, and it may go for a while. Good evening to each one of you. I'm very happy to be here tonight. I don't know what's more difficult, to be told 2 months ahead of time that you're going to be preaching, or somebody walks up, hey, you're preaching right now. Come on, let's go. All right, who's firstborns? You know? So what is expected of a firstborn? Perfection, isn't it? You know, the baby, they can get away with everything. And then the middle person's going, hey, I'm here, look at me, right? But the firstborn, they always feel that they have to do everything perfect. Why? Because the parents, that's what they expect, right? I hope and pray that you'll get something out of this. My brother Joel, he left a perfect foundation to go from here. In John 8, in the 12th chapter, it goes through the 47th verse, but I'm only going to hit some of the verses. Well, did I pass something? I might have. No, I don't think so. Did I? Oh, I'm sorry. My fingers. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's the first. My fingers. All right, let's do it here. John 1. Now we are off. I've made my mistake and we're fine now. First, John 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we have this picture. I love the book of John. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. The relationship that he had with Christ. And there's a lot to glean from it. In the 8th chapter, it's a very good chapter to study. And we're not going to go through, I'm only going to take parts of the 8th chapter. But here you find the setting. It's Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple and he sat down and he taught them. I love that picture that you can see. So then we come over to the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And then Christ says, and he that, in the 29th verse, it says, and he that sent me is with me. That's his witness. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And I use this because you see the relationship that Christ had with his Father, and it's described throughout the scripture, and it gives you a perfect picture. And the Book of Mormon does the very same thing. And so when we go through these scriptures, I want you to pay attention to some of these scriptures that I bring forth, and you can see that relationship, and it gives you a better picture of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost working as one, and then we become a part of that. Going on in the 30th verse, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, or followers of me. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the background there, he was speaking of a complete spiritual freedom from death. In this life, in the life to come. In Genesis 22, God's covenant with Abraham. This is going to be a very important theme, because it's going to be the foundation of what I'm going to be bringing to you tonight. And there's a lot of things I'm going to do, so you can write them down. You're going to have to study more, but I'm taking the highlights of some of the scriptures to paint a picture for you as to this work that we've been called to do. So here in the 16th verse, it says, by myself I've sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's basically the judgment seat. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And you just think about what he did when he was going to offer his son according to the commandment that the Lord had given him. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the second time. This is an important period of time because we're living in it. And it's a long dispensation of time. I want you to think about that. In the 10th verse, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or a standard of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, in the isles of the sea. Our brothers are watching. The important takeaway here, the root of Jesse, who is that? It's Christ, right? And what did he bring? His gospel, his doctrine. And to it shall the Gentiles seek. Verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign, a doctrine for the nations, and assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And this is a picture here. He's going to set up his ensign or his doctrine. He's going to assemble the outcast of Israel. What is that? That's the promise that was given to who? Abraham? Is that what he said? There's going to be a remnant. They're going to be preserved, all right? And they're going to be gathered, and they're going to be brought together. And the other thing here about Ephraim and Judah, there's a lot there. I'm not going to get involved in that tonight, but I want you to write that down and think about that relationship, because it's part of this whole plan of God that we're in the middle of. You might be able to help me out here, Ronnie, but Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben Judah is a very descriptive from the Mishnah. Yes, the Mishnah. Because they look at those two individuals, and they were going to have a role to play. Why? Because Joseph had the birthright, was given the birthright because of Reuben and what he had done in his life. The spiritual birthright was then placed upon Joseph. And there was a very special relationship that we have, because we have the seed of Joseph in their record, the Book of Mormon, and Judah. And who is Ephraim? A people of nations. That special blessing. Who is scattered in all those nations? The remnant of Israel. There's a connection there. Nephi's vision, the Gentiles. 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter, 183 through 189. 185 I'm going to read. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be, what? Hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. So what things is it? It's the things that he was commanded to write and to keep a record. That's what he's talking about. And they're going to be hid up. And they're going to come forth. And it's going to be unto the Gentiles for a purpose, by the gift and the power of the Lamb. Verse 186, and in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock, and my salvation. And I'm going to hammer that even more later on in my sermon, because it's very important. We do not want to have any fuzzy areas here, because Christ did not bring a fuzzy doctrine. It was very plain and very precise. And we need to be able to articulate it and keep it as a foundation as we speak and teach other people that doctrine that Christ gave us. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth Zion, forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's another important part of this, to seek to bring forth his Zion, his purposes within that covenant from the beginning, before we were ever created. It was that plan. And if they, verse 188, and if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, that shall publish tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. There are several different places that Isaiah is quoted that uses similar words. The mountains among the children of men, the different nations and the kingdoms. How beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. In 2 Nephi, in the 7th chapter, Jacob's speech concerning Zion. And you can see that through 18 through 32, but I'm not going to be reading all those. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights again. I put all of them in there, kind of encapsulated for you guys to study, for you guys to take home. Or when you want to listen to this again, you can go through and follow along. Verse 23, wherefore he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. That covers the whole spectrum. It doesn't matter what's bond, or if you're in a country where you're bound by, where you can't do what you don't have the freedoms that you would normally have, or if you live in nations that you have the freedoms to make choices and do those things in your life. In China, they're in bond. They have to hide in secret if they want to serve Christ. They're in bondage. Male or female. If you fight against Zion, underline that in your Book of Mormons. I'm serious. That's a very important thing. You do not want to be found fighting against God. If you're espousing some other doctrine or supporting things that are not supported by our Lord Jesus Christ, it won't go well with you. For they are they which are the whore of all the earth. For they which are not for me are against me, not on a good side, saith God. For I will fulfill my promises which I have made but unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. This tells you that plan was in the beginning, before we were created. That's what it's saying. The lost sheep. Jeremiah 50:6. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. That's a pretty sad picture. I hope and pray that we haven't done that to some of our own people because of our laxness or whatever it might be. That we have caused some of God's sheep to be scattered and lost. They have forgotten their God. That's a pretty big statement concerning the shepherds and the importance that we have, that God has given us. Matthew in the 10th chapter, verses 5 and 6, Jesus' commandment to the 12. This is important. This is another important aspect when Christ came, it has everything to do with that 11th chapter. The second time to recover Israel. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he told his disciples to do. When Jesus was confronted by a Canaanite, when they were walking, and you know the story there, the Canaanite woman, she had a daughter that was vexed by Satan. And she knew she saw something in Christ, and she knew that if she could get his attention, she would be healed. And she would come and worship him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But that didn't sway her, did it? What did she do? She continued her quest. And he said, "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." Now that was a pretty derogatory remark, especially over there in that culture, to give something to the dogs. That was a very dirty remark. But what did she say? "Of a truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." He had never seen such faith in all of Israel. "Be it as your faith." She was healed. Isaiah 48 chapter. Why is God wanting to work with Israel with all the backsliding, with all the things that has happened? Why? He says it in the 9th verse. "For my name's sake." He made that covenant. He made the covenant with Abraham. Abraham didn't make the covenant with him. God made that covenant with Abraham. "Will I defer my anger and for my praise?" For my praise. No one would be able to say they did it on their own. "I will refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off." In the 16th verse, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there I am." And throughout the book of Isaiah, you just type in "I am." You could see that, hammered that over and over and over again. "I am" was speaking and prophesying and trying to help his people. "The Lord God and his Spirit has sent me." In Isaiah, the 49th chapter, admonition to the remnant of Israel. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb." You see that relationship? The Lord hath called me from the womb. Who's he talking about? Who's talking and who's talking? And who is he talking to? That's an important aspect when you're studying. Who's doing the talking? The Lord is the God, Father, his Father. "The Lord has called me," Christ, "from the womb, and said unto me, thou art my servant." And it's interesting, those words there, because when you get into the prophecy of Jacob, that's what Christ is called, the servant. All these evidences of those things, someone can't just make it up and write that book, the Book of Mormon. "And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." And that was God. He would be glorified. The sixth verse, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Now again, he's continuing to speak to his son. And to restore the preserved of Israel, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation and the end of the earth. That beautiful plan that was planned from the very beginning of time. Before time began. Isaiah 49, again, continuing the admonition to the remnant of Israel, verses 1 through 23. I'm only going to pick a couple of them. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard. Brother Joel said, we've done that. We know that. We have it. I hope and pray each one of you, as you teach your children and talk to your friends, that you can make that connection for them between the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. So let's see what Nephi says about some of the words of Isaiah. Because it helps us to understand the things of Isaiah. He was very specific when he talked with his people, because he didn't want to give them the things, the training of the Jews, basically, in understanding the. He wanted them to have a better connection, that they wouldn't have that stumbling block. Verse 13. Behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal, that we were just reading about, that I just read to you. For thus are the covenants of the Lord with our Father. After all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land, the Americas. Verse 17, of 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter. The Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed, the remnant of the seed of Joseph. Wherefore it is likened unto them being nourished by the Gentiles. In verse 20, and not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel. Unto what? Making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham. There's that connection, that promise with Abraham, for my name's sake, as the Lord had said, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And that was because that lineage brought Jesus Christ, the root of Jesse. Verse 21, all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall what? Make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations, making it more obvious as those things unfold in bringing about his covenants, his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. And I want you to start thinking, let's see, what can I think about in history? That we can actually say, we know, we've seen those things. That's the things you should be rejoicing in and espousing and teaching. Look, this is evidence that God's plan is unfolding in your very life today. 23, they shall be gathered together to the lands of their inheritance, their first inheritance, and shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. So here, Christ, when he was in the flesh, and before the beginning of his ministry, he was in the temple, and he said, he stood and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. He was called to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, the contrite, to preach deliverance to the captives, captives of Satan and sin, and the recovering of the sight of the blind, those who are not understanding those things of God and they're blind spiritually, and set at liberty them that are bruised, brokenhearted, and pressed down. That's the beautiful message of the gospel, that the blood of Christ can overcome all those things if you put your trust in Him and give your whole heart and soul to Him. The source of Christ's doctrine, John 7, 16 through 17. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." You see the connection there? It's like someone says, "Steve, this piece of cake I'm going to give you, it's going to taste really good. And if Steve doesn't take it from me and put it in his mouth and taste it, he's only guessing. He has no clue." That's what we do with the scriptures. That's what we do with the Word of God. We have to consume it and allow it to be within you and to apply it to your life. The doctrine of Christ. Now these next slides are going to be important. 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter, because of the words of Christ. "And I bear record that the Father commanded all men everywhere to repent and to believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they shall which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned." Now those are pretty simple words, aren't they? But how many times do we get tripped up on that? Verse 37, "And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him," though that individual that follows those principles that was just outlined, repentance and baptism. "And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one." Verse 41, "This is my doctrine, and whoso," and this, please take note of this. It's a very important scripture. It's a very important words from Christ. "This is my doctrine. Whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock." That's what Joel was talking about. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And whoso shall declare more or less than this and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil. And it is not built upon my rock, but is buildeth upon a sandy foundation." Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about these things and pray about it very seriously, these words of Christ. You okay, I'm okay, you believe in Christ, that's fine. You're doing yourself not a very good favor. I'm not saying you have to be contentious. But if you've got that in your heart and mind and you leave that with somebody, you've established it as the doctrine of Christ, and you're on shaky ground. And that's a very serious position to be in. for us as ministry and us as individuals. Individuals can do this. And we have to be careful. Verse 21, Father, I pray. I love these verses of scripture because in the 9th chapter here, this is Christ speaking. This is after he told the disciples to gave them the ability to baptize, and they baptized each other. He told them how to do it, and then the gift of the Holy Ghost rested upon them for the first time. That beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost. And here it says, Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall what? Believe in their words. Whose words are those? The disciples' words. The words that we have recorded in here. All the works and the things that they recorded. So Christ was praying for us that we might have the gift of the Holy Ghost, just like in the 14th chapter of the book of John. I'll pray for another comforter, that he might abide with you and be with you, that we might be one. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, those who believe in those words, believes in those testimonies, and also all they which shall what? Believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. Aren't those beautiful words? The doctrine of Christ. Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Joel touched upon this a little bit. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints. And if we don't have it right, we can't participate in that. And the perfecting is helping those individuals be able to have the blood of Christ applied to them, that they may be made perfect according to the words of Christ. Living that life and applying those principles in faith. The work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Unto, get this image, unto the measure and of the stature and the fullness of Christ. You are now made in the image of Christ. That's what that means. And that's the whole point that Christ is trying to make. And he's provided the tools that this can happen. That we won't be those like in Jeremiah, those shepherds. They didn't know how to do that. And the sheep were roaming all over everywhere. Lost. Scattered. And forgotten, but not of God. Verse 14, that we henceforth no more be children. What? Tossed to and fro. Does that give you a picture of what maybe we might be seeing? And carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When the whole plan of God is working, all that is, you've got that beautiful shield and protection in your life, because you're standing on the rock. Bedrock. 1 John 1, 9 through 11, I'll do 10 and 11. And this is another important verse of scripture. I want you to think about this. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So what does Godspeed mean? Rejoicing with them? Are glad, very glad, joyful, joyed? Hail, greetings, farewell? That's what that means. So if we see somebody that has been a part of us and they've done that kind of a thing, and we say, oh, we're happy for you. What have we done? What have we done? We've wished them Godspeed. And what does that mean? If they transgress that doctrine and that law, where are they spiritually? Where are they? And we're thinking, Godspeed. Yeah. Cheering them on. This is serious. It's something we have to think about and pray about. Third Nephi in the 12th chapter, the Gospel of Christ, verse 26. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. I don't want to be before him if I've done some of those things and have not repented of it. Verse 29, whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father. Verse 32 in that 12th chapter, therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Verse 33, and now this is the commandment. You notice how he keeps repeating within the same areas? Now listen, this is important. You got to get it, right? And so he repeats it. Repent, all ye ends of the earth. Come unto me and be baptized in my name, that you may be what? Sanctified, cleansed by the reception of the Holy Ghost. That Spirit of God being resident within us, with our spirit, that we may stand spotless before me, Jesus Christ, at that last day. Verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and you know the things that you must do in my church. For the works which you have seen me do, that shall you do. And he will give you the strength and the power through the gift of the Holy Ghost to do those things that is expedient in him, in his plan. Not in our plan, his plan in our lives. Now I'm going to turn to the advent of Christ in the book of Jacob. I'm going to cover some things here in the third chapter of Jacob. There's some very good things in here because it helps us to understand some of those things that we can put together with Isaiah and the whole plan of God. Verse 69, it says that it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard, who is the Lord of the vineyard? The Father. Saith what? Unto the servant, Jesus Christ. Pluck off the branches that have not brought forth good fruit and cast them into the fire. That sounds pretty drastic, isn't it? So what do you think those branches are? And who are they? If you're familiar with this prophecy of Zenos, those are the branches that were replaced the original branches, the natural branches. Those were the Gentiles that were grafted into the tree. But they didn't bear fruit. And the Lord in the vineyard said, go burn them. Remove them. Verse 70, but behold, the servant saith unto him, let us prune it. Well, that means he's going to follow his father. He's going to prune it. When you prune a tree, you're cutting things off. And dig about it and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it may bring forth good fruit unto thee, that thou canst lay it up against the season. And the title, The Advent of Christ, this is what was the plan when Christ came in the flesh. Other sheep. This goes along with what we're earlier that I talked to you when Christ said, I come but for the lost sheep of Israel. The 11th verse in the 10th chapter, I am the God, I am the good shepherd. Does that kind of ring a bell from Jeremiah, the chapter 50, and the bad shepherds? He's the good one. And he's making that very plain when he was speaking those things. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He spoke that to those there in Jerusalem, trying to see. It was kind of, if you're familiar with the whole scenario, later on in the 9th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, he was letting them apply their faith to see if they were going to ask or not. What do you mean, other sheep? There was times when they did ask Christ, when they didn't fully understand, well, what is this? And he would answer them. But in this situation, they didn't ask. Verse 19, and verily I say unto you again that other tribes have the Father, and this is when he was with those other sheep in the seventh chapter. Okay, so verse 19, and verily I say unto you again that other sheep have the Father separated from them, and it is because of their iniquity. That's why they were separated, that they may know not of them. And verily I say unto you that ye are they of which I said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's when Christ made his appearance among the remnant of Joseph that we find in the 4th chapter, 3rd book of Nephi, after that great destruction, after he was resurrected. And verily I say unto you that ye are they which I said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. As we continue on, verse 24, and verily, verily, I say unto you, I have other sheep which are not of this land, where he was at that time, okay, in the Americas, neither the land of Jerusalem, neither any parts of that land round about, whither I have been to minister. But I have received a commandment of my Father, see that relationship? That I should go unto them. This is the resurrected Christ. Who's doing the direction? The Father. Who's doing the will of the Father? Christ. That I should go unto them, that they shall hear my voice, and shall be numbered among my sheep, that there may be one fold, one shepherd. Therefore I go to show myself unto them. Okay, there's a book that is not a religious book. He walked the Americas. I don't know if you've read it, but it's a very good, it's a whole book of testimonies among the American Indians concerning Christ and his visitation among those people. their testimonies. The Church of Christ Restored, 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter, verse 80. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them unto the remnant of our seed. And that's what we've been doing since 1830, since we've received it, endeavoring to. First Nephi, the third chapter, the fullness of the gospel, or in fine, that after the Gentiles have received the fullness of the gospel, there's no other gospel. It's the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The natural branches, those branches I told you that he pruned off, what is he going to do with the natural branches of the olive tree, or the remnants of the house of Israel should be grafted in? That's that plan. Or come to the knowledge of the true Messiah, their Lord and their Redeemer. Hang with me. I'm close. Continuing in Jacob. Wherefore, let us take up the branches of these, which I have planted in the nethermost parts of my vineyard, and let us graft them into the tree whence they came. And let us pluck from the tree those branches whose fruits are most bitter, and graft in the natural branches of the tree in the stead thereof. Wherefore, this is, let us go and labor with our mites this last time. And behold, the end draweth nigh. And this is the last time. So this is speaking of the restoration. The last time I shall prune my vineyard. Graft in the branches, beginning at the last, that they may be first, and the first may be last. And dig about the trees, both old and young, first and last, last and first, that all may be nourished once again for the last time. And I'm going to hopefully show you pictorially what that all means in a few more slides. Verse 136, and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. Okay, the Lord of the vineyard is the Father. He sent his servant, and what? And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. Do you feel kind of like few amongst all the children of men? And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto them, go and labor in the vineyard with your mites. Every time I say that, I remember the sermon that our brother Brian said. What's mites? With all your heart, mind, and soul. Right, Brian? Heart, mind, and soul. Like Brother Jay said, you live it. You're living it. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor with your mites. For behold, this is the last time, and I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. Oh, now we get a picture. Yay! 1953. Begin with the last. The first. Graft in the branches, beginning at the last, that they may be first. 1953. The church was established in Yucatan. They are the remnant of the seed of Joseph. And they were the last of the four plantings that is spoken of in Jacob. But when they were covering it, there was only three. And the reason being is that Mulek and Zarahemla joined forces with Nephi, and they were called Nephites. So they became one people. So you ended up with three recovery plants. A sign unto them, 3 Nephi in the 9th chapter, And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign, this is the words of Christ, that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather in from the long dispersion of my people, O house of Israel, and establish again among them my Zion. Again among my... It was there before. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them, these things, the fullness of the gospel of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them, or the Gentiles, unto you. For it is wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land. It was speaking of the nation earlier in these scripture verses. It's describing America being a free nation. In verse 93, and when these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, it is a sign unto them that they may know that the work of the Father hath what? Already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant. What was that covenant? The covenant made to Abraham that he would recover the remnant of his seed, which he had made with his people, O house of Israel. In 2000, that next graft of the natural branch was grafted in through a dream that came to us through our brother. And it was established in 2000. And then the first was the Philippines. That first planting that was planted a long time ago was in the Philippines. They have a testimony. They have within them a testimony that they are of that covenant people. And there's physical evidence on the islands concerning that. They're not just whistling Dixie, if you want to take a... The Book of Mormon. This was Mormon speaking. And now behold, this I speak unto their seed, and also to the Gentiles, which have care of the house of Israel, that realize and know from whence their blessings come. For I know that such will sorrow for the calamity of the house of Israel. I had opportunity as a young man to live in Germany in the 60s. I took my family over there later in the 90s. We visited Dachau. We had a man sitting on a bench who was there, and that bench was facing the crematories. And he was one of those that put the bodies in the crematories, and he wanted to be a witness of what was done to them. And the destruction of this people. This people had not repented, that they might have been clasped in the arms of Jesus. All through the scriptures, you could see where the Father was merciful, endeavoring to call them home, to call them back, throughout all the Old Testament. We choose Barabbas. That's why it went to the Gentiles. 39. Now these things are written unto the remnant of the house of Jacob. And this is the commandment which I have received. This is Mormon speaking. And behold, they shall come forth according to the commandment of the Lord, when he shall see fit in his wisdom. 41, and behold, they shall go unto the unbelieving of the Jews, and for the intent they shall go, that they may be persuaded that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that the Father may bring about through his most beloved his great and eternal purposes in restoring the Jews, or all the house of Israel, to the land of their inheritance, which the Lord God hath given them unto the fulfilling of his covenant. For my name's sake, 2 Nephi 6 chapter. I got one more after this. And now, my beloved brethren, I have read these things that you might know concerning the covenants of the Lord, that he hath covenanted with all the house of Israel. He had covered all the things of Isaiah. Those were the different points within Isaiah for this purpose. 2 Nephi in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3, but verse 2, that he has spoken unto the Gentiles by the mouth of the holy prophets, unto the Jews and the mouth of the holy prophets, even that from the beginning down from generation to generation until the time cometh that what? They shall be restored to the true church and fold of God. The Gentiles being an adopted heir to that promise. When they shall be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance and shall be established in all their lands. That's encompassing the whole gamut. So here's the last picture. In the 9th chapter, 3 Nephi, behold, now I finish the commandment, this is Christ speaking, which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people, which are the remnant of the house of Israel. Ye remember that I spake unto you, and said, when the words of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, from chapter 1 to chapter 66 in the verse of in Isaiah. Isaiah is a very important book that you need to really give it some good thought and prayer and study, because it'll help you understand these things even more fully when you use the Book of Mormon, because it gives you the understanding even more so, along with the Spirit of God. But it says, you remember that I spoke, that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written, you have them before you. What's going to happen? Therefore, search them. Verse 48, and verily, verily, I say unto you that when these shall be fulfilled, then the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father... The fulfilling of the covenant, when they're fulfilled, when you get to the end of the book, and you can really, you start with verse 19, because verse 15 through 19 of chapter 66, it's describing when Christ comes, the judgment. Then verse 19 is what's going to happen. I'm going to leave that for you to look at. Which the Father hath made unto his people, O house of Israel. And then shall the remnants which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth be gathered in. Because that description is there from the 19th verse of the 66th chapter of Isaiah for the next to the end of the chapter. They'll be gathered from the east and the west and the south and the north, and the knowledge of the Lord their God who hath redeemed them. They'll be brought to that knowledge. And I left the last slide. This is it. This is a picture of our brothers over in the Philippines. This was after the typhoon that you read about in the report. And if you labor with your might, with me, you shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which soon come. Our brother Cabriatus is preaching. He's barefoot in the mud, and they're there to praise God, to worship their God. Now, it could have been very convenient. Well, you know, it's all muddy and everything. It's not really convenient for us to do it today. We're trying to take care of everything. No, they wanted to give thanks to God that they were alive and he had blessed them. To honor and give glory to their God. May God bless us, is my prayer.